You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca, Alberta's only regulated online gambling website. Use the promo code, and you get a new one every month, Greger50, and you'll get a free $50 play only at PlayAlberta.ca.
A lot of turkey, yes, last night. Probably a little too much, some would say.
A little too much, yeah. So those tight jeans are probably a little tighter, I would think.
They're screaming. The seams are screaming, but that's how my wife likes it.
Yeah. Hey, non-Oilers news, by the way, for all of the Stingers fan, Sean East II has just signed with the Utah Jazz. So congratulations for him. That'd be the second point guard from the Stingers potentially go to the NBA. Of course, you saw Moon who did it and went on and ended up playing for the Clippers for a while. So looking for Sean East II, who, man, he was pretty dominant. That's great for the CEBL. I would think to just have guys who are getting recognized and, you know, maybe to go to the G League and then to the NBA. It's pretty awesome.
You know what's so good about that, Greg, is, you know, they can now sell that. That's a selling feature. You know what? We have players that have come here, and it doesn't mean your career is over here from getting to NBA. It's a potential pathway. So that's really good to sell the league.
Yeah. Look at the orders, Strutty. Oh, my goodness. Speaking of breaking at the seams, you're watching that defensive effort on Saturday night, and you're probably just, like, glowing watching that.
Well, that feels like that's playoff level. The way they're playing, you know, really Vancouver didn't have many opportunities against, and as everyone was doing it, they were you know, being hard to play against, hard to get to the net, all the things you want kind of later in the season, and we're seeing that game too. So I think that was a really good game by that group. I think it's a great sign, and you know what, they've been talking about wanting to have good starts for three summers now, or three falls, I suppose, and now I think this year through the first two, we can say that they've done so.
What did you make of Regula and the hits from Kane?
Oh, well, I can tell you, if you did that to me, you couldn't get far enough away. I would have found them anywhere. I would have come and tracked them down. I know the game has changed quite a bit, but that first one, I did not like it. Yeah. And then we've seen, Vander's done, he does that. He's in the gray area of the rule book, right? I think it should be a penalty. It wasn't a penalty. I would have said the same thing when he was on the Oilers when he did it to players. But, you know, the second one, Regula, if you go look at the replay, he looks up ice, but he doesn't look across ice. And that was a gift. He gift drafted that hit for Evander Kane. I mean, that's the easiest hit Kane's going to have all year. And he absolutely just demolished him. You know, then he got the two guys jumping him, which I have no problem with at all. You know, it's the second hit they've had on a guy that, you know, was pretty vulnerable. So they jump him in there. But I think Evander Kane is being exactly what he should be and he needs to be for that team.
TR.
Struts, what do you think of the Lane Hudson contract?
Well, I mean, he's a talented player, and he's up there with Quinn Hughes and Cam Makar to watch play. I enjoy watching him play so much. And the contract, I mean, honestly, you see what guys are getting around, you know, those youngish guys like Luke Hughes and others, that's right in line with them. So to lock that up for that long, I think is really important. Now, I do think that Marty St. Louis, with that group, that entire Montreal group, has to, you know, they've worked a lot on the offensive part of the game. I think they have to look at their own end a little bit better. But that's like a lot of young teams. They all come up and they are scoring like crazy. Then you're like, oh boy, there's two ends of the rink. And I don't think Lane's, you know, any different than the rest of them. But, you know, he is must-watch hockey. And when you turn on a TV and you see a Montreal Canadiens game, you want to see him. You want to see Demidov, Suzuki, Caulfield. Like, they've got a lot of fun guys to watch.
Also, go ahead. Go ahead, TR.
Well, I was curious what you thought of, what you think of the situation with, say, a guy like Isaac Howard. I have to think about it. I think about it from two sides of the fence. Now, he's not playing next to nothing like back in the day when guys would get one shift. He's playing 10, 11 minutes a night. I think it's more beneficial for him to be down or up on the fourth line.
Yeah, 100%. I would send him down. And it's not like he's been way overwhelmed. What I'm seeing is a player trying to understand how to get space in the NHL, where guys are bigger, faster than anything he's ever seen before. You know, and you can see he's trying to break wide, and he's, you know, and the D-men, you're not beating many D-men wide. So he's got to just find that timing and find that way to create space. You know, I'd rather him do it with, you know, 18, 19 minutes a night rather than 9 or 10 a night. So put him where he's going to play a lot and he can figure those things out and be on the power play and all that kind of stuff to kind of go along. So to me, this is not a punishment. Hey, Ike, you know, you're getting sent down. It's whatever. Wednesday, you're going down. Not a punishment. We want to go. We want to work on these three specific things. Here's the video to support it. Our coaches know it down there. You're going to play more down there. And then when you've kind of worked on those things and are coming around, and if we have a need, you will be called up. You're a huge part of our future. Like, be very positive with it. Yeah, he'll be pissed off, and everyone gets pissed off when they get sent down. But be clear in what you want. Not, hey, you're going to the minors to work on a few things. No. This is what we want to work on, A, B, and C. Off the ice, you can work on this. We'll make sure you're set up with a vet to help guide you through whatever you need to go through. But be very clear, be very positive, so he knows exactly what the mandate is as he heads down.
I do want to go back to Layton Hudson for a sec, because I'm going to put Layton Hudson in the exact same category I put in Jack Hughes when he signed his contract. I was like, too early, and he might work out. But people saying that this is one of the best value contracts in the NHL are delusional. The guy has 6 goals as a defenseman. He moves the puck well. That's great. He's flashy, excited, and I get all that. How much better is he going to get? Because I look at his size, and I don't see him being a big difference maker. He will be a good regular season player. I'm not sold he's going to be great. I'm not sold yet. And I think, wait, people just see something new and they're like, how much better really is this guy going to be? I don't think he's Quinn Hughes. He doesn't skate like Quinn Hughes, right? And I think it's a fine contract. It's a little bit risky, but it's a fine contract. Just because it's less than Jackson Lacombe, then people are like, oh, it's way better. But Jackson Lacombe and Luke Hughes are way bigger than him. And that matters come playoff time. So I saw all the adulation, people claiming this is one of the greatest contracts ever, and I'm like, pump the brakes. Just like Jack Hughes, Jack Hughes has had 1 year where he was good value on, like, better value to the dollar on his contract so far. One, because he's hurt all the time. So I'll say Layton Hudson, I don't think it's going to be the home run that everybody thinks.
Yeah, you know, and that's a really good point, Craig. And that's sometimes the challenge organizations face, right? They put bums in the seats and they're exciting players, but can you win with them in the playoffs, right? And a guy I mentioned in that group, Cole Caulfield. Do you think if he played against the Florida Panthers in the Game 7 of the playoffs, that Florida is not able to control him, right? He's quick, for sure, but he's not big. He's probably not winning a lot of 50-50 puck battles against Tkachuk, against Barkov, against Bennett, against Ekblad, against, like, just the list goes on. So I think sometimes these organizations get in a spot where they do sell tickets, but you might not win with them, and that's always the challenge.
Yeah, where about you, TR? Like, do you love this signing?
No, honestly, when I first saw it, I said, "Oh, that's a good sign." They got him for a decent, but it was good for the team and the player. And then when I looked online, people acted like it was the best contract in the last decade for the Habs. I was kind of surprised. I thought people would be happy. I thought, to be honest, it was a little bit risky. I did, because of what you said. I mean, I really, really don't get me wrong. I think he's a real, real good player with a potential to be sensational, and in which case, you know, hats off to the hat. But it's still, you know, he's getting, what is it, 9 a year or 10 a year, like, or 8 to 9 a year?
Yeah, 8.85.
Yeah, so to me, that's a home run if I'm Layton Hudson. I wouldn't, you know, 8 years at that kind of money is fantastic for a guy that's slight and you know, all those questions are very valid. He's slight, and playoff hockey, and he had 6 goals last year. He looks good doing it, though, and I thought it was good for the team and good for the player.
Going to the orders, Struds, what is your expectations of Roslovich and Mangiapane now on the top line?
Well, I'll go backwards. I didn't like Frederick with that line. I just don't think that is to works to his skill set. You know, you want to put people in a position to have success, and that's just not for Trent. I don't think that was his spot. I think I want him as my third line center. I want big, heavy third line. Doesn't mean unskilled. Doesn't mean they can't tilt the ice. But the line he has him now with Podkolzin and Kapanen, that's a big, fast, heavy line that should control the ice when they're out there, play against anybody. A little bit like a poorer version, maybe, of what you've seen with Adam Lowry in Winnipeg. I love that third line Winnipeg has. Okay. I think the Oilers are going for the same type of thing. Jack Roslovic, Griggs, you and I did a radio show for a long time. Every time we called someone, they was from Winnipeg or Columbus. I ask the question every time, what's going on with Jack Roslovic? Like, is he coming around? Why is he not doing more? So to me, he's a player that over his career has left me wanting more. He's got the skill, he's got all that stuff, the skating and all that, but it's always left me wanting more. And I think that's why he's moved from team to team and then scores 22 goals last year and waits till the season starts to sign a contract. So I think the Oilers fans have to understand what he is. He's not a savior. He's not Zach Hyman. He's not going to all of a sudden bump up to 40 goals playing in the Oilers' top six. I think these guys can skate. You know, he scores 5-on-5 goals, which is valued around the league. But I think if you set those expectations in and around that 15-20 goal mark, I don't see him as a real hard competitor. Now, can he change? Yeah, he can. And he comes here, and if he has a good year and does all the things that I said he hasn't been doing consistently over his career, then yeah, there's an opportunity for him to become a really valued piece. But he's always left me wanting more. And Mangiapane, he's off to a good start, 2 goals right off the hop. Yeah, okay, put him up there with the big guys and see if he can keep it going, because they are short at least one top six forward with Hyman in the lineup. So they need to make sure that they, you know, if they have Mangiapane and Nuge and, you know, Hyman and then player to be named later, maybe that's enough to kind of solidify that top six.
Yeah, well, I still look at it. I think they need now, hey, they're going to try Roslovic and he'll get a look. But I think the Oilers need another scoring winger after Zach Hyman. Yep. And that's something they'll be looking for at the trade deadline. And it's got to be someone with size, Strady, because I'm just like size and a little tenacity. I just don't know if you can go into the playoffs and have Nugent Hopkins, Mangiapane, Savoy. Well, Hyman's obviously here, so one of them will be out. And Roslovic all in your top six. Just not going to work.
Well, I know the guy I want, Alex Tuch from Buffalo. That's the guy. Now, yeah. I mean, you know, Buffalo, they never fail to disappoint. I mean, it's unbelievable. I don't know how they could have so many good players go through an organization and you're still struggling. It's like, I don't know. It is a mess. But I have a hard time envisioning Alex Tuch, although I think he's from there. I have a hard time envisioning him re-signing there. So he'll probably be available. And I mean, could you imagine him playing alongside Leon Draisaitl? I mean, that would be heavy, hard. That's a dream. Oilers fans should put your head on your pillows tonight and pray for that to happen, because I think he's the perfect guy beside Leon.
Well, yeah, there's a few guys, but he would definitely be one of them, no question about it. He would add a lot to them for sure. Jason Greger, Terry Ryan with U Sports 1440, joined by Jason Strudwick. Strudy, one last one. The order is now, Wallman could come off Thursday, and they could put Ragul on IR to hold off until they have to make some moves. But with Janmark and Ragul is supposed to be back by the weekend, the order is going to have to make two moves. And is it the obvious one, just... You know, they'll send Lazar and a defenseman down. Do you think they make three moves? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think the obvious one is Ike Howard. I think he's the guy that would go down. And not for a punishment, but just to get him playing. And he doesn't cost you anything. Then maybe Lazar, you know, does Stetcher. Does he, unfortunately, maybe get exposed out there? Because they, you know, Ragula is a younger piece. He's bigger. And, you know, all the things have been outlined with what he's done well. So I think it's Howard and somebody else. And I don't know if that money makes enough to fit everybody on, but you know better than I would.
Oh yeah, no, that wouldn't be an issue, because they're all guys who are on IR are already counting on the cap because they're LTIR. So that it's more so just roster spots until when Zach Hyman returns, then you likely have to move out two guys, and then the cap will actually come into play. But until then, all it is roster spots and just which guys are you going to move up and down off the roster. That's it.
Yeah, and I think, like, in the case of Curtis Lazar, I still think he has a role to play. You know, at some point, it's a long year. You know, people forget that the starting lineup doesn't end up like that, the last lineup of game when you started game 83. So doesn't mean he's going to come up and be a first liner, but he'll have a role to play on this team. There will be injuries. There will be looking for different lineup matchups. You know, and I feel for Noel Phillips. I mean, really, he's out from what I can see for really no good reason. Like, through bad play, I should say. No bad play by him, but... That's hockey. It's not fair. So you take the kick in the junk, work hard, and hopefully get back in the next game, and you still have another good game. And you just keep just back in game, good game after good game, and making them say, man, we can't just keep this guy off the roster anymore or out of the lineup.
Yeah, that's the only choice. Strady, enjoy the game tonight, buddy. And, oh, before we go, Daniel Jones. the Indianapolis Colts have scored more points in the first 6 weeks than anybody in the modern era. What do you make of Daniel Jones and the Colts?
Well, I'm not an NFL expert, but I know that the Giants have not had a great, they didn't have a good offensive line when he was there. He was running for his life. And I believe the Colts, and Connor can correct me, I believe they're one of the best in the league. And then they've got a pretty good running back there, although they had Saquon Barkley behind Danny Jones, but, you know, Jonathan Taylor is pretty good as well. So those two things, I think, help him, give him time. But right now, old Mr. Dart, the big Dart's looking pretty good. Him and Cam Skidaboo, whatever it is. Both those guys, I think, are hopefully the pieces we need to start going, but not too good. We need a new coach, so we don't want to win too much. Want to get a new coach. I don't want to see him celebrating with his quarterback like they won the championship after they win every game. Act like you've won before.
I love it. Starty doesn't like too much celebrating. It's so awesome.
Well, you see him celebrating, like he's rubbing his hair and looking into his eyes. Like, that's how I looked in the eyes of my wife the day I married her. I mean, like, just relax and just let it, just be happy you won. Yeah, high five, man. Okay, good. We got to prepare for the next game.
I agree. Awesome. TR, you're not a fan of the, you think the celebrations are too much right now for the Giants?
Yeah. I'm not. I think it's unnecessary and it's overplayed.
All right. Look at these two guys. Hey, old school. I like it. Hey, don't have fun, guys. It's sports. It's serious all the time. Strutty and TR. I love it. Fellas, have a good one. We will chat with you next Tuesday, Strutty.
See you, buddy. Thanks, man.